Okay, swinging back over to you. It's the Thursday Impressionistic News Hour for the 24th of February, 2005. Changes of plans are necessities sometimes, but hey, we do what we can here. This is Kill Radio. I'm your faithless host, Bennett. We got a full house here at the studio, and I have a whole bunch of things I have to play. God, I don't even know what to say. And I'm the news guy, too. So stay tuned, relax, smoke them if you got them. And you're listening to the Kill Radio News. News in review from killradio.org and the harpers.org website. This was posted February 22nd by Paul Ford, and this is for the Impressionistic News Hour for Thursday, February 24th, 2005. I'm your faithless host, Bennett. This is about last week. CIA Director Porter J. Goss, that's the CIA Director, Porter J. Goss, claimed that the war in Iraq is making it easier for terrorist organizations to find new recruits. And Sunni Arab tribal chiefs insisted that they be given a role in the new Iraqi government. We made a big mistake, said a sheikh, when we didn't vote. 8 suicide bombings killed nearly 91 people. Killed 91 people in Iraq, and United States Marines and Iraqi security forces were fighting insurgents in Ramadi, 75 miles west of Baghdad. An Episcopal priest who fought in Vietnam, distraught over the war in Iraq, killed himself in Wenatchee, Washington. And President George W. Bush nominated John Negroponte, the U.S. ambassador to Iraq, as the first director of national intelligence. Negroponte was ambassador to the U.N. from 2001 to 2004, and ambassador to Honduras from 1981 to 1985. He is alleged to have turned a blind eye to human rights abuses in Honduras and to have helped the Nicaraguan Contras find funding. Negroponte will oversee 15 separate intelligence agencies and will deliver the daily intelligence briefing to the president. In Venezuela, where floods and mudslides killed 37 people, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez claimed that the United States had plans to kill him. If, by the hand of the devil, those perverse plans succeed, forget about Venezuelan oil, Mr. Bush, Chavez said. In England, a nuclear power plant was unable to account for nearly 30 kilograms of plutonium, enough to make 7 nuclear bombs. The discrepancy was said to exist only on paper. Ariel Sharon announced plans to withdraw 8,500 settlers from Gaza and several hundred settlers from the West Bank wagon train. The Knesset ratified the plan, setting aside $870 million for resettlement, even though some Israeli parliamentarians compared the withdrawal to the deportation of Jews during the Holocaust. Israel freed 500 Palestinian prisoners, and guards were placed around the grave of Sharon's wife, Lily, to protect it from desecration by outraged settlers. Syria denied any role in the assassination of Rafik Hariri, the former prime minister of Lebanon and critic of the Syrian occupation, who was killed in a Beirut bombing. The United States withdrew its ambassador to Syria, and 100,000 mourners turned out for Harari's funeral. Syria and Iran announced that they would form a common front to face mutual threats, but Syria's ambassador to the U.S. said that this has nothing to do with the United States. In Egypt, a team of 13 doctors removed a second parasitic head from a baby girl. And NASA researchers studying the methane signatures of Mars found evidence of life below the Martian surface. Say that again. NASA researchers studying the methane signatures of Mars found evidence of life below the Martian surface. I need to know more about that. Lawrence Rawl, head of Exxon during the Valdez spill, died from Alzheimer's. And Texas executed another prisoner. Two paintings of dogs playing poker sold for $590,000. A study showed that 310,000 Europeans die from air pollution each year, and the Kyoto Protocol went into effect. The treaty, which calls for a 5.2% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 2012, was ratified by 155 countries, though the world's top polluter, the United States, did not sign, citing costs. The House approved a measure to limit class action lawsuits, redirecting large lawsuits from state to federal courts. And the Pentagon, which formerly was illegal, and the Pentagon allocated $127 billion to build a robot army. Some of the robots will look and walk like Arnold Schwarzenegger, some will hover in the air, and some will make their own choices during battle. The lawyers tell me there are no prohibitions against robots making life or death decisions, said a representative from the U.S. Joint Forces Research Center. It was revealed that the Army, seeking to avoid scandal, destroyed photos of U.S. soldiers holding mock executions of hooded Afghani detainees. See, that fits right in with with Bush. I mean, he would prefer to deny reality and to say that to admit that something happened is to be weak. That's apparently his idea. And is bad. You've got to always lie and fake everything because that's what everybody wants to hear. Yes. Chinese scientists announced the development of a new process that turns sewage water and mud into organic fertilizer and pesticide. North Korea celebrated Kim Jong Il's 63rd birthday. The Americans swagger like a tiger around the world, said North Korea's Pyongyang radio, but they whimper before our republic as the tiger does before the porcupine. Mohammed El-Baradi, the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, said that U.S. policies on Iran and North Korea are inconsistent and that no evidence exists to implicate Iran in the development of nuclear weapons. Togo's President Faure Gassambi promised to hold elections within 60 days. Gassambi took control of the presidency after the former president, his father, died in office. The Ugandan army admitted that it had recruited 800 child soldiers who had escaped from serving in the opposition Lord's Resistance Army. Avalanches in Kashmir killed over 100 people, and archaeologists were excavating an ancient Indian city uncovered by the December tsunami. That's interesting. six Indian students killed themselves because they were anxious over their upcoming board exams. A car bombing in Thailand killed five. Ecuadorian President Lucio Gutierrez fired most of his country's Supreme Court. A tanker spilled 13 tons of oil into Tunisian waters. And the body of Cecilia Cubas, the kidnapped daughter of Paraguay's ex-president, was found in an underground chamber. Sudan refused to allow war crime suspects from Darfur to be tried at The Hague, insisting that they instead be tried at home in Sudan. And a scientist in Chicago used stem cells to grow fat tissue, which can be used in breast implants. Scientists were waiting for H5N1, an avian flu virus that has killed 41 people in Thailand and Vietnam, to mutate into a form that can spread more rapidly among humans. If that happens, the flu is expected to kill tens of millions worldwide. Thailand rejected a plan to slow the spread of the flu because the plan's execution, which called for the destruction of millions of possibly infected ducks and chickens and the distribution of face masks, would alarm the public. The Socialist Party won a landslide victory in Portugal, and a mine explosion in Fuxin, China, killed 203 people. Secret tapes made of George W. Bush between 1998 and 2000 indicate that Bush once considered John Ashcroft for vice president, oh my God, and that he most likely smoked marijuana in the past. Speaking in Brussels, Bush called on Syria to end its occupation of Lebanon. He also said it was time for Europe and the United States to work together. An expert witness in the Robert Blake murder case testified that he once crawled into a cage filled with crack-smoking monkeys. And two former caretakers of Coco, the gorilla that can speak in sign language, sued for harassment. The caretakers claimed they were pressured into exposing their breasts to satisfy Coco's nipple fetish. The ban on fox hunting went into effect in England and Wales and was expected to be widely ignored. A poll found that Americans believe Ronald Reagan to be the greatest president in history. Oh my God. And Hunter S. Thompson killed himself with a .45. The British Navy was actively seeking gay recruits. Dogs in Australia were licking toads to get high. And a luxury hotel was scheduled to open at Berksgarden. An 80-year-old Australian doctor had "Do Not Resuscitate" tattooed across his chest, and in Hong Kong, the bough of a lucky wishing tree broke off, scratching a 4-year-old boy's head and breaking a man's leg. Gar, there was a lot of news last week, huh? I hardly know what to say. That's the weekly news in review. Thanks for listening.
Like a tiger before a porcupine. Sharpshooters searching for a 425-pound tiger that had prowled the hills of Simi Valley for 2 weeks shot and killed it Wednesday after a family awoke to find it walking past their backyard. Now, we've had stories. There are ancient stories. You can look in the Fortean world and find all kinds of stories about misplaced animals, kangaroos in Chicago and big cats everywhere. Well, here's a fucking tiger, 425-pound tiger. Did they have to kill it? Of course not. They decided that tranquilizing it might cause danger to the people shooting it. So therefore, they decided to just go ahead and shoot to kill. After all, these are the same people that kill 10-year-olds who steal cars. Not exactly the same people, but in the same area. So here's to you, Tiger. February 23rd, 2005, in Simi Valley. I spent a lot of time in Simi Valley recently. But I didn't see the tiger. Anyway, this is the Thursday Impressionistic News Hour. That's Tori Amos, Sleeps with Butterflies, from her new album, The Beekeeper, that came out on Tuesday. This is the Impressionistic News Hour for Kill Radio. And today I'm playing several different kinds of pieces, but mostly they're of me. Paul Wellstone's plane crash wasn't an accident. The CIA bought stock options on United Airlines before 9/11, making millions in profits. The military sprays low-level bioweapons on the public through air tanker contrails. The tobacco industry plotted to deceive the public on the negative health effects of smoking. Lee Harvey Oswald alone didn't assassinate John Kennedy. The FBI deliberately caused the fire in the Branch Davidian compound. Planted bombs from within the structure destroyed the federal building in Oklahoma City. AIDS was created in a government research lab. Mass inoculations are designed for citizen mind control. General Motors and Firestone conspired to destroy public transit in the United States. The Bush White House interfered with FBI investigations into the Bin Laden family before 9/11. Conspiracy theories abound in America and are directly related to the lack of investigative reporting by the mainstream corporate media. The public knows more about Winona Ryder's shoplifting trial than about the weather conditions and circumstances of Paul Wellstone's air crash. The Los Angeles Times printed 83 column feet on O.J. Simpson during his trial, but has ignored for decades the deliberate and successful plot before World War II to dismantle L.A.'s public transit system by General Motors and Firestone. Oliver Stone's interpretation of the Kennedy assassination has been mostly dismissed as conspiracy theory by corporate media. Questions regarding the veracity or falseness of seemingly important conspiracies and plots often go unreported by mainstream media. The 10 big corporations that now dominate media in America are principally in the entertainment business, while the corporate media is narrowing its content, with news reports often looking very much the same. The public's access to the vast land of the internet is amplifying, and informational snippets and unanswered questions leading to conspiracy beliefs are increasingly available online. The First Amendment provides for freedom of the press and was established to protect our democratic process by guaranteeing an informed electorate. Yet we just completed a national election with an all-time low voter turnout. Millions of voters refused to participate in the electoral process. We denigrated and blamed non-voters for being uncaring citizens, yet the corporate media has failed to address core issues affecting most people in this country. Voter participation levels are directly related to issues that the citizenry feels are important. Many people no longer trust the corporate media to provide the full truth. This opens people's susceptibilities to believing in conspiracies and plots to explain unanswered questions. Cynicism has deterred voting for many. How can we free ourselves from this dilemma? First off, we can think of conspiracies as actions by small groups of individuals instead of massive collective plots by governments and corporations. Small groups can be dangerous, especially when the individuals have significant power in huge public and private bureaucracies, but they cannot possibly be interlinked in a macro way, bridging the gaps between thousands of corporations and government bureaucracies. Macro plots may well be the answer to some of the conspiracies floating in our circles of cynicism. However, without accurate, thorough investigations, we can only stew in our own distrust and experience widening alienation from the democratic process. Additionally, we can advocate strongly for mainstream media to invest in democracy by supporting investigative reporting on key issues. The director of the Chicago office of the FBI, Tom Neer, admitted on August 17 at the American Sociological meetings of the FBI that the FBI conducted in that at the American Sociological meetings that the FBI conducted an investigation into the pre-9/11 stock options, but he refused to disclose who bought the stock. Mainstream media needs to pursue this issue using our freedom of information laws to put the conspiracy questions to rest. Finally, we can advocate for full and clear reporting on the policies and plans emerging from the public and
private policy circles of the American corporate and government elites. Full analysis and disclosure of the published plans of the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Hoover Institute, the Heritage Foundation, the Cato Institute, the World Bank, and the Project for the New American Century would go a long way in showing that the roadmaps that the policy elites are building for the world. We don't need macro conspiracy theories to understand that powerful people sit in rooms and plan the global change with private advantage in mind. If open debate on socio-political policies were offered nationwide, it would certainly draw widespread citizen voter participation. Imagine a computer programmer thinking about social policies that would prevent outsourcing of his job to foreign firms. Imagine his enthusiasm voting for representatives that would work to protect his livelihood. Imagine millions of reawakened citizens informed and active in a real democratic process. That's from Peter Phillips, an associate professor of sociology at Sonoma State University and the director of Project Censored. This is killradio.org.
And now from beyond the grave, a little visitation from our dead friend, Bill Hicks.
I was over in Australia during Easter, which was interesting. Interesting to note, they celebrate Easter the same way we do, commemorating the death and resurrection of Jesus, by telling our children a giant bunny rabbit left chocolate eggs in the night. Now, I wonder why we're fucked up as a race. Anybody got any clues out there? Or where do you get this shit from, you know? Why those two things, you know? Why not goldfish left Lincoln logs in your sock drawer, you know? And as long as we're making shit up, go hog wild, you know? At least a goldfish with a Lincoln log on its back going across your floor to your sock drawer has a miraculous connotation to it. Mommy, I woke up today and there was a Lincoln log in my sock drawer. That's the story of Jesus. What's up with this shit? I've read the Bible. I can't find the word bunny or chocolate anywhere in that fucking book. Do y'all have different books of the Bible than I do? Are y'all Gideons? Who are the fucking Gideons? Ever met one? No. Ever seen one? No. But they're all over the fucking world putting Bibles in hotel rooms. Every hotel room. This Bible was placed here by a Gideon. When? I've been here all day. I ain't seen shit. I saw the housekeeper come and go. I saw the minibar guy come and go. I've never laid eyes on a fucking Gideon. What are they, ninjas? Where are they? Where are they from? Gidea? What the fuck are these people? I'm going to capture a Gideon. I'm going to make that my hobby. I am. I'm going to call the front desk one day. Yeah, I don't seem to have a Bible in my room. People suck, and that's my contention. I can prove it on scratch paper and a pen. Give me a fucking Etch-a-Sketch. I'll do it in 3 minutes. The proof, the fact, the factorum. I'll show my work. Case closed. Tired of this backslapping art humanity neat bullshit. We're a virus with shoes, okay? That's all we are. What do you say we lighten things up and talk about abortion? You know, I feel like I'm losing some of you here, and I want to win all of you back with this one. Let's talk about abortion. Let's talk about child killing and see if we can't get some chuckles rippling through the room here. Let's talk about mass murder of young, unborn children. See if we can't coalesce into one big, healthy gut laugh. Boy, I've never seen an issue so divisive. You ever seen? It's like a civil war, isn't it? Even amongst my friends, who are all very intelligent, they are totally divided on abortion. It's unbelievable. Some of my friends, for instance, think these pro-life people are annoying idiots. Other of my friends think these pro-life people are evil fucks. I we going to come to a consensus? You ought to hear the arguments around my house. They're annoying. They're idiots. They're evil. They're fucks. Brothers, sisters, come together. Can't we once just join hands and think of them as evil, annoying, idiot fucks? I beseech you. But that's me, Libra rising. The scales. And strangely enough, Shiva, the destroyer. Who would have thunk it?
And now it's time for Kill Radio's Cannabis Corner.
Since we're thinking about our individual rights, let's talk a little bit about marijuana. Marijuana was the first major research about its health value and about its about the drug problem of marijuana was done back at the time of the Nixon administration. And at that time, it was revealed that marijuana was not addictive, neither was cocaine, not in the same sense as heroin, that a person goes into deep sickness if they don't have it. However, as the political situation has gotten more and more conservative over time, it has been decided that no matter what, we have to make marijuana a bad thing. So now we have people who get up and say that marijuana is addictive, that withdrawal from marijuana is very difficult. I'm looking here at a newspaper ad from the anti-drug people, the parents. Marijuana puts kids at risk. It is the most widely used illicit drug among youth today and is more potent than ever. Marijuana use can lead to a host of significant health, social learning, and behavioral problems at a crucial time in a young person's development. Getting high also impairs judgment, which can wreak havoc on teens in high-pressure social situations, leading to risky decision-making on issues like sex, criminal activity, or riding with someone who is driving high. Kids can get hooked on pot. Okay, again, the reason that they're doing this underneath it is that they want to make marijuana bad. They want to destroy any social action that changes it. Marijuana makes people think differently. That's why people are against marijuana. Not because of all these other things are distractions and excuses from the fact that a person who is stoned, who understands what stoned thinking is, cannot accept the simple black and white world of the straight person. It's that simple. So straight people don't want people to be stoned, period. Okay? And they will come up with a lot of reasons for it. Now, I'm going to say, perhaps to the surprise of some listeners,